You don't even know how to pray, and neither do I. Sad story is, most of us don't even want to part of the time, most of the time. I know that's the case for me. I know I ought to, but I don't even want to make that on my own. So he places within me the desire to spend time in his presence. The Spirit of God stirs within me, and he puts within me the want to. And then, even if I want to, sometimes I don't know how to. And so the Spirit of God, the Scripture says, will pray in us and through us. And sometimes it's with our understanding, and sometimes it's in the Spirit, and sometimes it's with groanings that we don't even know how to express. But the beautiful part about it, remember this, the beautiful part about it is you have the Holy Spirit, who is God, based on the provision of Jesus Christ, who is God, praying according to the will of the Father, who is God, on my behalf, on your behalf. God praying to God according to the will of God and the provision of God, and I'm the recipient. Praise his name. Praise his name. Pray in the Spirit. And then the Scripture goes on and it says this, at all times. At all times. The rest of the verses are there, but I want to focus for just the next few minutes on that idea of praying at all times. Praying at all times. Or we could also call it constant prayer. There's another passage of Scripture that I think of and that I read in connection to this idea of constant prayer, and it's Romans chapter 12, verse 12, and it simply says this. This is, again, Paul writing, this time to the believers in Rome, encouraging them, and he says, there's something you need to be doing. You need to be rejoicing in hope. You need to be patient in tribulation. And then the thing that brings all of that together is this. He said, be constant in prayer. Be constant in prayer. So what does that mean, to be constant in prayer? Well, I'd like for us to see it in two different ways today. Number one, being constant in prayer is an atmosphere. It's an atmosphere. Obviously, we cannot walk around, or we cannot just wake up in the morning and kneel down somewhere or lay before the Lord and just pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, never eating, never sleeping, never talking to people, never going to work. That's obviously something that we can't do. We live in this world. There are things that we've got to get done. Moms have to take care of their families. Dads have to take care of family. So there are things that we have to do. So when we talk about being constant in prayer, when we talk about the persistence in prayer, praying always, when we talk about that, we obviously can't be talking about this idea of constantly walking around, don't talk to me, I'm praying. That can't be what we're talking about. So instead, I would understand it this way. It is an atmosphere of prayer. I get my telephone that I use. I it's provided for me through my other job. And our CFO, our business officer, every once in a while he'll come to me. He gets this printout from, I think ours is through Verizon. He gets this printout from Verizon. And he gives a copy of this printout to all of the employees that have a phone through that plan. And he'll say, okay, during this past month, this is the number of hours that you use on how many gigabytes you use. And one time he said to me, he said, I don't know, your usage seems to be well beyond what I would expect. He's smiling at me. And so I said, well, I don't know that I'm doing anything out of the ordinary. And he said something to me that intrigued me. And as I was thinking about this idea of being constant in prayer, this thought came back to me. He said, here's what I would encourage you to do. He said, go into your settings and look and see if you have any apps that are continually running in the background. So it could be that somehow in my settings, I've configured it in such a way that there's this particular app. Maybe it's an email app, or maybe it's a Facebook app, or whatever. But it maybe could be that there's some kind of configuration that I have that even when I don't know about it, even when I'm not consciously using that app on my phone, it might be that that thing is running in the background, even when I'm not aware. You see what I'm talking about now? So when we talk about being constant in prayer, it doesn't mean we constantly walk around and say, it doesn't mean that necessarily. But what it means is we've created and we've got the settings of our life configured in such a way that the app of prayer is constantly running in the background, even when we don't realize. And so I don't have to go into a church service and be worked up into a froth before I'm ready to pray. Hello. I don't have to have the music pump me up and get me into a certain frame of mind before I'm ready to pray. Instead, prayer, rather than it being an activity of my life, it's constantly creating an atmosphere in my life. And so at the drop of a hat, in a moment's notice, I'm ready to pray. And it might be the 5 minutes that I have between dropping off my son at school and getting to my office. And it might be the 10 minutes that I have in taking a shower. It might be the hour and a half or 2 hours, God forbid, that I have whenever I mow my grass. You see, you're standing there, walking around in circles, doing nothing anyway. You just as well pray. Right? So it might look this way. But it might look this way. How you doing, my friend? What was that? I'm sorry. Let's pray about that right now. So who was it said that to me just this morning? Jim. He said to me just this morning, he had a friend of his that said, "Hey, Jim, I got this situation going on in my life, and I want you to pray for me." And so Jim was just kind of thinking, yeah, okay, I'll pray for you. You know, one of those things where you just kind of say, "I'll pray for you." And the guy said, no. I mean right now. I want you to pray for me right now. Well, now see, if you don't have that app constantly running in the background, you're going to have to get into a church service and have somebody whoop you up before you're ready to pray. Okay, now I'm ready. And so when we talk about being constant in prayer, it's this idea that at any time, on any occasion, I might have an hour, I might have 2 minutes. My prayer sometimes might be really formal. We had a guy, you know what I'm talking about, we had a guy at a church we pastored previously, just an old country boy. I mean, he was country from head to toe. You could barely understand him whenever you're having a normal conversation with him. It sounded like he had marbles in his mouth. Kind of like that. But he was one of our deacons, one of our elders in our church service. And I, whenever I would call on him to lead out in public prayer, this old country boy that you couldn't understand, this is the way he would pray. "Our great God in heaven, we do thank thee for thy bounty." And that's okay, because whether you speak like you got marbles in your mouth or whether you speak in a very formal way, he understands. Whether you use words or whether you use tears, he understands. If you've got 5 hours or you've got 5 minutes, he understands. If you're kneeling at this altar or if you're driving down the road, he understands. I would challenge you, just as I'm challenging myself, I would challenge you to configure your telephone of life in such a way that the app of prayer is constantly running in the background, whether you know it or not. So when we talk about this idea of being constant in prayer, I think about it in terms of an attitude. And then I also think about it in an atmosphere. And then I also think about it in terms of an attitude. God is calling the church to develop a certain attitude towards prayer as well. To be constant in prayer as an attitude means that we are persistent. Don't stop. It's going to get discouraging. You're going to feel like you're not making any headway. I've been praying over that same thing for years now, and it doesn't seem to be moving. Be persistent. Stay at it. Be devoted to it. Don't give up. Don't slack off. Make it a habit. Being constant in prayer as an attitude is the exact opposite of randomness and occasional and sporadic and intermittent. In other words, Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is calling the Christian to make prayer a regular, habitual, recurring, disciplined part of your life. So yes, it's running in the background all the time, ready to erupt in a moment's notice, but it's not something that's accidental. I have intentionally set my mind to be a man or a woman of prayer. God is calling us to treat prayer the same way we treat eating and sleeping and doing our job. He's calling us not to be hit and miss, but to be faithful. Last Friday, I'm finishing up. Last Friday in our prayer time. Normally Brother Ben leads us in our prayer time. But somehow, through God's providence, it fell to me to lead in our prayer time last Friday. And I had been thinking about a scripture off and on throughout the week, and been thinking about that and praying about it and meditating on it. And so I just shared that with the group on Friday night. And it was Jeremiah chapter 33. Verses 1 to 11 is really where we read. It says this: while Jeremiah was still in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it, the one who established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer, and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the houses of this city, the palaces of the king of Judah that have been torn down for defense against the siege ramps and the swords. There are places in your life that have been torn apart. There are things that God has established that either through neglect or through an outright attack of the enemy have been laid waste. Every one of us has those places in our life. Those places that were intended to be established for God's glory, we've allowed the enemy to come in and to lay waste to those places. Verse 5, those who come to fight against the Chaldeans will fill these houses with the corpses of their own men, whom I will strike down in my anger and in my wrath. I have hidden my face from this city. Anybody ever feel that way, that God's hiding his face? I've hidden my face from this city because of all of its wickedness. Nevertheless, I will bring it to health and healing. I will heal its people and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. I will restore Judah and Israel from captivity and will rebuild them as in their former time. What's going on here? They're in captivity because of their own disobedience. And God says, call to me. We're in trouble because of our own neglect. And God says, call to me, and I will show you great and mighty things. Verse 8, and I will cleanse from them the iniquity that they have committed against me and forgive all of their wrongs that they have committed by rebelling against me. And then verse 9. Verse 9 just leapt off the page at me. You see, when we think about God doing great and mighty things, great things are things that benefit us. Boy, that's great. Yes. He's going to restore. He's going to heal. He's going to bring joy. He's going to bring peace. He's going to forgive. Those are great things. But it says he's also going to do mighty things. Mighty things are things that you cannot do for yourself, that only he can do on your behalf. Now, the temptation would be, boy, God must really love us. And he does. But the temptation is to become self-centered and self-focused and say, boy, if we'll just cry out to God, everything's going to be good, and I'm going to get blessed, and God's going to do all these wonderful and amazing things, and He will. But understand, it's not just for your good. Verse 9 tells us the real reason that God is up to something. Verse 9 says this, so this city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and glory before all the nations of the earth. Renown, I looked it up and it says this. It means it's a state where your name is on everybody's lips. So why does God want to do great things? Why does God want to do mighty things? Yes, it's for your good, but more importantly, it's for His glory. See, it's almost as if we just happen to be in the way when God wants to give His glory. All of the goodness that is showered on Him, all of the praise that comes to Him, all of the renown that comes to His name, we're standing nearby and we happen to experience the benefit of all of that. Now, here's where I want to meddle just a little bit. Listen, I'm going to go ahead and remind you, you got to love me to go to heaven. You know you're about to get in trouble when I have to preface what I'm going to say with that. Can I just tell you? God is calling some of you to come out of your laziness when it comes to prayer. God is calling some of us to reestablish our priorities when it comes to prayer. God is wanting to birth within us the understanding that we must pray like our life depends on it, because whether you know it or not, it does. We are in trouble as a people. We are in trouble in our families. We are in trouble in our community. We are in trouble in our nation. This world is in terrible trouble, and we cannot fix it. We cannot do great and mighty things. We're there because of our own disobedience. We're there because of our own rebellion against God. And the only fix for it, He tells us, is to call on Me. And so I'm going to issue this out there as your pastor. Some of you are going to need to rise out of your laziness when it comes to prayer. Some of us, God is calling us to rearrange our lives and our priorities. And you need to, some of us need to pray for our children as if their life depends on it, because it does. Some of us need to pray as if our marriage depends on it, because it does. Oh, you're painting a pretty gloomy picture. No, no, no. I want you to understand, our part is to call. He will always be faithful to do His part, and that is to show great and mighty things. Things that will benefit us, and things that only He can do. Isn't it amazing? He doesn't ask you to do great and mighty things. It would seem that the mess we're in, we ought to get busy trying to do great and mighty things. We can't do great and mighty things in the face of the trouble that we're in. But what we can do is what we're called to do, and that is pray. It needs to be that app that's running in the background of your life, and it needs to be an intentional, focused, disciplined part of who you are and what we do. Can I tell you, I'm struggling with this right now myself. I'd love to be able to tell you, follow my example, I've already perfected this. I'd love to be able to say that to you, but it would be a lie. So I share with you and I challenge you in the same way that the Spirit of God is challenging me. Ron, set your priorities in order. Ron, rise from your laziness. Pray like your family depends on you, because it does. I don't want one of my children to fall away from God. Not one. It's not going to happen just because I hope for it and I'm going to dedicate myself to prayer. I don't want one of you and your family to to fall by the way. God forbid that we could sit here week after week after week and hear what is supposed to be a gospel message, and then you leave from here and go to hell. God forgive us. I'm going to pray. So I can tell you, in the weeks ahead, some of you, I'm going to go ahead and let you know what's happening ahead of time, so when you start experiencing it, you're not going to be wondering. You'll know. My prayer is that in the weeks ahead, God's going to begin to trouble you. He's going to begin to stir you. He's going to begin to put an unsettledness in your heart and in your spirit. And most likely, sometimes, Amy, it's going to come on Friday afternoons. Well, what's happening on Friday afternoon? We're preparing for prayer service at 7:14. See, what you don't know, and I'm going to share this and I'm going to shut up. What you don't know is many of us have been reaping the benefit of seed that somebody else has sown. The anointing on the worship team, the time of prayer and anointing with oil right here, the openness to the Spirit, the ability to operate and move in words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of encouragement, all of those, they don't happen just accidentally. We've been now for more than a year laying that seed, laying that foundation every Friday night. How about come and sow some seed on somebody else's behalf? How about come and join us in prayer? Now listen, there's times I can't make it. Let's not make this a religious thing, okay? Let's not make this a legalistic thing where if you're not here, somebody's going to call you and find out where you were. That's not it at all. That's actually counterproductive to what we're wanting to do. We're wanting to make ourselves available to God. We're wanting Him to speak to us, and He does. So I invite you. I encourage you. I challenge you. I commission you. Well, and maybe Friday night's not good for you. I would challenge you to join us in prayer. Even if you can't be here geographically, you can be here spiritually. Join us in prayer. Your life depends on it. Your family depends on it. This church depends on it. The effectiveness of the ministry of Christ in this community depends on it. It's not going to happen just because we show up. It's going to happen because we pray. Amen? I'm done with that. I got 3 more weeks on prayer. It's going to get better. Let's stand. here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. Let us not be like those who see ourselves in the mirror of God's Word and then walk away and forget what we've seen. May we not be like those who walk out of this door and in a moment of darkness forget what God is showing you in this moment of life. May we not just shake our head and say, yes, I agree with that, and then walk and live an unchanged life. I challenge you, commission you, in Jesus' name, become a man of prayer, become a woman of prayer. You will never regret it. Father, I bless these today with opportunities to hear from you. Lord, cause them to recognize the weights, the hindrances, the baggage, the laziness, the lack of priority. Cause us to recognize all of the things that draw us away. Even the good things that keep us from you. God, take us from our complacency. Replace it with an urgency. Oh God, for our good, but mostly for your glory. In Jesus' name. Go in the name of the Lord. Be blessed. Amen.